This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 109 of Sunday Supplement with me, as always, in the studio, which we don't have a studio, but...
No, we don't have studios. I've got a cat in my studio.
Yeah, I'm quite jealous about that.
I've got a little kitten called Trotsky to go with the larger cat, which is called Leon.
And they don't go near ice picks, do they?
No, they don't go near ice picks. Or Mexico. In fact,
they might flee, I was going to say.
We don't have fleas.
I've got some interesting facts about the number 109.
Go on then, Simon. What are your... You haven't introduced me.
Well, I sort of
have. With me as always, you said.
You didn't actually say my name.
No, I don't have a name. I don't need a name. I'm that important. I am she who must not be named. Which is actually not Voldemort, is it? It's her upstairs in Rumpole.
The number 109 is the 29th prime number. The 29th Prime Minister is Robert Peel. Robert Peel invented the police. The lead singer of the police was Sting. Sting was in Studio 60 on Sunset Strip. Studio 60 on Sunset Strip was written by Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin wrote A Few Good Men, and A Few Good Men starred Kevin Bacon.
Well, there we go.
That's
also,
more than
I've met Aaron Sorkin, so...
Oh, you have, haven't you? And his little wife.
And his little wife.
Kristin Chenoweth.
Yes.
Is she, like, 4 foot tall?
She's tiddly tiny, and she has a little tiddly tiny person's voice.
Does she look like she's not real?
A little bit, but she's very pretty, so it's kind of like, you hope she is real, but you can't trust your senses on these things. It's a bit like when I met Abby Titmuss. Abby Titmuss walked into the Camden Head in Camden, and I was there. I think, were you there, or was it Tom? It was one of you two was there with me, and we looked over, and in walked Abby Titmuss. And my goodness, how beautiful that woman was. Because you expect celebrities to be pretty, but she was absolutely stunning. And so much so that a busy pub all seemed to turn their heads and go, wow.
I don't remember that. Maybe it wasn't me. But then I vaguely do remember. I'm sure I'd remember if I'd seen Abby Titmuss in a pub in Camden.
I'm sure you wouldn't. I mean, you fail at anecdotes, Simon. Not most of your anecdotes are like, had some coffee, went for a walk. And I said, Simon, wasn't there like a nuclear holocaust just before breakfast? You're like, something like that. But the coffee, I couldn't find any sugar.
Well, the coffee is the important part of the story.
You're a bit like Dougal from Father Ted. It's sort of like, do you remember, Dougal? You were helicoptered. You had 3 broken legs. Do you remember, Dougal? You must remember. I'll go on, Dougal. You're wearing your red jumper. I remember. That's you.
Did you get a newspaper?
Of course I got the newspaper. I got the people.
No, you didn't get a newspaper then. You got the people.
I got the people.
Are we going to call it the people from now on?
Well, it's better than Michael Had going people.
People. Well, actually, Cameron says that, I think, as well. That's he almost has a kind of a people type.
People.
People. I got the mail on Sunday.
Oh, God.
Which, weirdly, is 109 years old.
Really? No, so it full fits in up. And connects. No, it can't be, because the mail was one of the first papers in the UK.
The mail on Sunday was one of the first Sundays as well. I think we did this in, like, episode 2 or something.
Yeah, or something. Something ages ago when we were young and life was good and I didn't have kittens trying to climb on me. Go away!
You've got kittens in your drawers, which is never good.
The thing is, this kitten has no respect for surfaces and no respect for your dinner. And if you have a tiny bit of fabric poking out of a drawer, it will attack it as though it is a mouse. And not like a normal mouse, but like some sort of killer. It's eaten a sock, basically.
Cut out a cape. Cut out a cape. Yeah. Anything in the paper?
I've got a whole supplement pullout about the Battle of Britain, which is actually quite good.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I had something about that with David Jason on the cover.
David Jason? He wasn't in the Battle of Britain.
He was. He was a Spitfire.
Was he? Was his commander? Did he have a slight stutter?
Yeah. And also he had a car that came out of the skirting boards.
Did it only have 3 wheels?
No, well, yeah, but then I was talking about Danger Mouse.
Well, there you were.
I would quite like to have seen the Trottermobile come out of a skirting board.
With Inspector Frost going, you're the murderer, and Penfold just going, I don't understand.
It is quite possible we've just made a 2-minute reference to very British-centric things that none of our American or Australian or Canadian or New Zealand readers will understand.
And don't forget the Denmarkians and the Swedes.
Basically, if you haven't seen Only Fools and Horses, Inspector Frost, Danger Mouse or Open All Hours, you won't understand the last 90 seconds of this podcast.
He's incredible. He's fantastic. Wherever there is danger, he is there. He's amazing.
Is Danger Mouse in The People?
No, Danger Mouse isn't in The People, but I have got the RAF's legless hero.
Oh, Douglas Bader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't realise. I assumed that Douglas Bader had lost his legs actually, like in the war fighting people. But no. He was commissioned in 1930 and joined the RAF's crack aerobatic display team. But in December 1931, he attempted for a dare to perform a slow roll less than 30 feet from the ground. Regulations banned the manoeuvre below 1,000 feet.
Wow, and that's how he lost his legs?
That's how he lost his legs.
A drunken bet, essentially.
A drunken bet when he was just 21.
And then he just carried on flying?
Oh, yeah, with a pair of artificial legs. And he was actually shot down, and the Germans said, right, you can't have any legs. But they negotiated an artificial leg to be sent to him.
Just one?
So, yeah, well, he only lost one artificial leg, he lost both. They didn't make him hop.
Yeah, he didn't then audition for a part in Tarzan.
Oh,
come on, that's a Peter Cook Dudley Moore reference.
Oh, yes, of course it is.
Weirdly, I've got something about aeroplanes too.
Come on.
I've got Boeing's billion-dollar gamble. It's made in the world's biggest building, takes only 4 days to put together, and is the first commercial aircraft built from carbon composites. It's the new 787 from Boeing. It takes them 4 days to make.
How big is that?
It's massive. The building it's in is 3/4 mile long and 1/3 mile wide. It's got its own shopping centres in it. They go around on golf carts, and the water that comes off the roof when it rains, right?
I hate you.
So much of it that it goes into a lake, a drain-off lake, that could float an ocean liner.
Just to be clear here, you're not talking about the actual plane, you're talking about the factory it's built in.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I don't think that there'd be much water running off the roof of an aircraft which is in the sky above the clouds.
True.
It always bothered me that as a kid. When you went above the clouds, it was normal. Like a sunny day, even when it was cloudy, I thought I was cheating somehow.
But the really nice thing about the aircraft is they've made it out of carbon fibre for the first time.
So it's really light. Is it carbon nanotubing?
I don't know if they do or not, it doesn't say. But rather than riveting panels all along a structure, they've built it in like 3 sections that just bolt together.
Sweet.
And what's brilliant is that they make all these different sections all over the world. In 10 countries, including the UK, and they've built this aeroplane inside which they can fit the 787 just to cart the bits around.
So they built an aeroplane for the aeroplane?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's genius.
I've made carbon fibre before when I was working for Benetton Formula One. I made little bits of wishbones and that sort of thing, and noses and a wing. When you do it, you can't have your hair in it because that will make it not work. So you have to wear like special hats and you look a bit like you're going to surgery. And everybody looks the same. And then you have to really like slap down the carbon fibre and really like grind it in with special plastic tools. It's really quite fun. What it reminded me of when I went in there was it's a bit like your first day of playgroup, you know, when you're using like cardboard tubes and you're making collages. It's a lot like that, except everybody looked like a Smurf.
But you've also got a bit of Alex Wurtz's suspension, haven't you?
I do, when he did that massive barrel roll.
Where he landed on his head in Canada.
Yes, and then got out and came fourth, yes. But he did a massive barrel roll, I think it was 1998, the Montreal Grand Prix. And it was the best opening to a race, apart from the Spa-Francorchamps, which I think was the same year, maybe the year after, when everybody crashed into each other because it was wet.
So he did a barrel roll, less than 30 feet off the ground. Douglas Bader's rubbish, Alex versus best, but I win because I've got the biggest building in the world.
No, I win because I've got a legless hero. And he's not pissed. He was a bit pissed off when he got caught, I imagine.
All right, score draw.
You just love saying that word.
I do. It makes me feel like my granddad, who used to do the pools. It's Article or Farcical. This is where Izzy will read out 4 articles from her newspaper, one of which she has made up, leaving 3 of which are real. And it is my job to decide which one is the articles and which one is the farcicals. Or something like that.
Something like that. Right. So, all of these articles are taken from Take It Easy.
Take It Easy? Right. Does that come with a Cadbury's Caramel?
No, it doesn't. It's free with the people on Sunday.
Oh.
And you can win a luxury break to Scotland. I'm off to Scotland next week. I've got gigs at the Stand, which will be nice. Okay, you ready? Number 1. I ate my dog.
Why did this person eat their dog?
I'm not going to specify. I think all of these are better left for you to guess. Number two, The Day I Married Shrek.
The Day I Married Shrek. Is that by Fiona?
It is, but it's not by that Fiona.
Oh, is it? I bet that's about people who dressed up as the characters from Shrek.
Three, I Woke Up Blind.
Right, okay.
Four, Attacked by the Sun.
Attacked by the Sun?
Yes.
As in S-U-N?
As in S-U-N, not by my son.
You haven't got a son.
Well, you don't know that. Simon, you are my son.
Oh, wow, is that our Empire Strikes Back moment?
Yeah, which I kind of ruined by doing the wrong theme tune. I should have gone, Simon, you are my son. You need to go, no, at that point, and fall through the ground.
I just know it's a physical impossibility, you being like 8 years younger than me. Unless, of course, you have had sex with Doc Brown, and you've
obviously
used his
I've
time
had
machine.
Sex with Doc Brown. Who hasn't had sex with Doc Brown? That man's a slut.
Right, I am going to plumb for I Ate My Dog as the farcical.
Why that one, as opposed to all the others, Simon?
Well, it could be Attacked by the Sun, I suppose. But that's probably about, I don't know, skin cancer or something, which is quite nasty. I can truly believe that someone dressed up as Shrek for their marriage, and I Woke Up Blind sounds like somebody you'd find in a Take It Easy magazine. So just left I Ate My Dog.
Can't you see how that could have happened? Can't your imagination stretch that far?
Well, if you were hungry enough, you might eat your dog.
No, what happened was the dog got his paw caught in the door, one of his toes came off and fell in the casserole.
So which one is the article and which one is the farcical?
Well, Simon, you're correct.
Yeah.
I made up I Ate My Dog. Da-da. I thought, but in that, I thought it might hide quite, nestle quite nicely. But no, you didn't go for it. I feel like a failure now. I might have a little cry.
Let's delve into the email bag, because it's all emails. No one writes to us by snail mail. I don't understand that snail mail.
It's particularly bad because after it rains, all the snails go out on the patio and you tread on them.
That is true. So you just destroy everyone's post. I made up a joke this week.
Go on then.
I can't remember it. Hang on, let me just remember it. It was sort of about, why did slugs eschew the snail shell?
I don't know. Why did slugs eschew the snail shell?
Less cargo. Dear Simon and Izzy.
Fucking hell. Yes.
Recently, I have found out that listening to Sunday Supplement whilst at work is not a good thing. You see, I'm a geologist who spends a great deal of time on narrow dirt roads in the mountains of northern Nevada. In and of itself, that warrants this being read
out. That's pretty cool. Well, geologists, you know what geologists do?
They rock.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, when you were talking about Clint Eastwood movies and you, dear Izzy, uttered the words The Good, the Bad and the Welsh, I nearly lost control of my pickup truck and went over the edge.
He has a pickup truck!
In Nevada, and he listens to our podcast.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just two days later, whilst listening to episode 106, brackets, filthy and oh so funny, one of my co-workers thought I had become a gibbering imbecile during the Bush's back segment. As a result, I must now listen to Sunny Supple alone in a quiet, often darkened room. This isn't so bad, because that's how I usually drink too. That's from Jim in Middleton, Idaho, USA. That's one of the best letters we've ever had. We nearly killed
That's
one of
brilliant.
Our readers.
In his pickup truck.
Driving along a mountain road in Nevada. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway. Dear Simon, comma, dear Izzy, brackets, in ascending order of height.
That is true.
I'm sure.
No, I'd prefer descending order of height, because that way I'm first and that gives me more importance, but... To be fair, it's in descending order of weight, I imagine.
Oh, shut up. I'm a bit OCD, thus I am always annoyed to hear you question the pronunciation of the Mail on Sunday supplement, live or live, we never know which is called. Rather than continue to hear you wonder whether it's supposed to be live, as in Izzy lives in the bourgeois hell of Oxford, or live, as in Simon does naughty things with live animals, I took action. I think I got that the wrong way around.
You did, I think.
A 30-second call to the offices of Associated Newspapers allowed me to learn that the full title of the supplement is Live Night and Day. Brackets, is that true? It doesn't say it on there. I did check. It doesn't.
No.
And it is thus pronounced Live, as in Simon lives in a box between podcasts. Hugs to Izzy brilliant. And a pat on the head to Simon. And that's from Mark, a.k.a. Dave.
Love you, Mark, Dave. You're a genius. We should have done that. Why didn't you do that, Simon? Why didn't you take more pride in your work?
I don't know. But he also mentioned that it would save us time, so we don't have to now call it Live or Live. We never know which it's called. So if you add up all the spam we've had this week, we've actually won £86 million.
Wow.
Well, by the way.
That's pretty good.
If you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
We also respond to tweets. If you tweet at Sidone, S-I-G-H-D-O-N-E, or at Izzy Lawrence, I-S-Z-I underscore L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E.
It's the randomizer skyzer, where we pick at random something from our various supplements. So you can choose between you, supplement of the year, okay, the new review, or live or live. We now know it's called live, according to Mark, who phoned him up, and it's actually called live light and day. I don't think it's saved us much time, has it?
I don't think it has, because until we check, we can't verify. Because that's the thing about science. You need to actually have a group of peers to peer review.
I've got a peer.
Well, I've been to Brighton. They've got a couple. Actually, only one now, because the other one burnt down even more and fell into the sea.
So, what do you want?
I'm going to go for live, as Mark pronounces it, live, but we don't know. It might actually be live. He might be lying. Live night and day, please.
Okay, it's between page one and page 40.
I would choose page 5.
That's the index.
All right. I will choose page 31.
Oh, this is Charlie Borman. Ooh. The guy on the motorbike with Ewan McGregor.
Oh.
My acting career was going nowhere, and then I met Ewan McGregor. His dad was John Borman, who directed Deliverance. Excalibur, he also directed, and The Emerald Forest and Hope and Glory. And it's a picture of him on his bike in the rain.
There we go. There's a theatre production company in Ealing in London.
Is this another name dropping?
The Jet Theatre. And it was my friend Julian Helena when I was growing up. But their dad has this little theatre production company. And before he was famous, Ewan McGregor used to be part of it. Jet Theatre.
Jet.
The best a Jedi can get.
Or pre-Jedi.
Yes. What is a pre-Jedi? It's a Padawan, isn't it?
So those little younglings.
Younglings. Oh. Mm. Yes.
Did you just do your own impression?
No, I was eating some crisps and they were very nice.
I used to be able to make my cat look like Yoda by squashing his ears down.
I used to make my fruit bowl look like Yoda for just leaving an apple, a Granny Smith apple, just a few days too long. Grow your own Yoda.
What can I choose?
Yes, you can choose from People Puzzles, Take It Easy.
Let's go with Take It Easy.
All right, then. You've got between page 1, because that's when it starts, and 27.
26.
Well, that is a true form, amazing memory foam that shapes into your feet, and it's an advertisement for comfy slippers.
Walking on mattresses?
Yes.
Why would you do that? That's like wearing clogs, surely, memory foam.
Because Zibby. Oh, is it Zibby? Was it Jebby? Something like that. Ziggy. No, not Ziggy. What was the... He floppered everywhere. What's he called? Flopper, flopper, dop, what? Dop. The mattresses.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, yeah. The mattress in... I was about to say, have I got news for you, then? The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Are we awake?
No.
What day is it? No.
It's time to flop out the wrinkly old green Yoda-like humdongers.
I can't imagine Yoda had a dong.
Well, there's no one else like him, is there? There's no, like, Mrs. Yoda, so he probably didn't
recreate. There must be. That was never explained. There must be other creatures like him.
He would say donger, wouldn't he? Anyway, you need to prepare yourself for an onslaught of c***itude. It's Piers Morgan, the insider.
Ow, my poor ears.
He's talking about the Emmys, and he went to a party, and he's just listing all the famous people who came up to him and told him he was brilliant.
Oh, God.
And he met Alison Janney, which is quite cool, Jeffrey Katzenberger, John Hamm, the guy out of Mad Men. And he was really, really obsequious to all of them. God, you're brilliant, you're fantastic, you're the best thing on telly. And then this British actor came up to him, and he just was a bit off with him, from all accounts.
Are you suggesting he's racist?
I'm suggesting he's an obsequious little twunt f***er.
I think if Jesus came up to Piers Morgan, the only thing is, would be that Jesus said he liked my hair, and I told him that maybe he should get some new shoes. Did you ask him any questions? No, I merely asked if he watched X Factor.
Or Jesus came up to me and called me a c***t. Which would be just as good. So I don't think you can actually beat my humdonger.
Well, I think I can. I've got Eamon Holmes.
Oh, God, that's all we do when we've got the people in the mail is have a cunt off. Nah, actually, that's a bit unfair. Eamon Holmes isn't a C-word.
But this thing is really awful. It says, no Mars bar on warming.
Right.
Scary noises from the EU this week about road tolls and yet more tax on petrol and diesel to get on top of global warming. Fair enough. But why is it so rarely pointed out that NASA has discovered Mars to be warming up at approximately the same rate as the Earth? Mars doesn't exactly have a lot of CO2 emissions from industry or traffic pollution, does it?
Right. Wow.
Wow. I mean, it's just like, yeah, you're right. All of these scientists are really, really stupid and they haven't possibly considered or checked their data in any way.
What's more annoying is that he's doing one of those, oh, the EU does this, this, this and this bad. And there's a website where you can go to see all of the stories about the EU laws and stuff. Just all nonsense. They're all nonsense.
As in, all the stories about them are nonsense, not the actual laws.
You know, they're just made up. They just make them up. They go, what EU story can we say this week? Oh, yeah, EU is regulating that giraffes' necks can't be more than 9 foot long. They just make it up. So there we go. That is one humdonger versus another humdonger. That's like Alien versus Predator if you put those two in a room.
No, it's not. It's Yoda versus Christopher Lee.
Yeah. Which one's which? No, but I don't want Piers Morgan to be Yoda. I don't want it to be Christopher Lee either.
Yeah, I like Christopher Lee. I'm sorry, Christopher Lee. If you're bored and you've got a bit of time, go on Amazon, get yourself Lord of Misrule. It's Christopher Lee's autobiography and it's brilliant. It tells about the time he lost his virginity in the Savoy Hotel to a woman with red hair and halfway through he fell off the bed. He was 25. I love him.
Isn't there also a story about a white tiger in a revolving door or something?
Something like that. And there's also a story in there about him getting his buttock shot at.
It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week. And in a dramatic turn of events, it's me.
No, no, Simon, it really isn't you.
It really is.
It really is me, because I got Battle of Britain pull-out special, and it really you want to pull out of the Battle of Britain and let the Nazis win.
I was going to say, if you pulled out the Battle of Britain, the Nazis would win, wouldn't they? And then where we'd be? Hitler would rule the world.
He'd be dead by now. And I'm sure the Nazis would have mellowed out a bit.
What, with age? Because people get less right-wing with age, don't they?
That's the truest thing. No, I'm quite glad that Hitler didn't win.
Is he in controversial statement shock?
No, I am pretty pleased about that. So thanks, Gran. Thanks, Grandpa.
So unless you can come up with a last-minute article...
Well, let's face it. No. Well, okay, how about this? There's a picture of a child who's sort of dilapidated and collapsed whilst holding pills. And it says poison. And then next to it, it's first aid myth. So if someone swallows something poisonous, you should make them vomit. No. Vomiting may make the poison burn the throat and cause more fumes to be inhaled. So you should never do that. So, but they have got a picture of a poisoned child. So I think that should win it for me.
I've got Piers Morgan talking of poison.
Yeah, exactly. And never try and vomit up Piers Morgan.
I don't know. I think actually if I met Piers Morgan, I would want to vomit on him.
You know, say you couldn't escape, say you're at a party and he pinned you to the wall and was just talking at you. The best way of escape is just to eat him and then vomit him up later on, or maybe don't and just digest him, because that'll be better for humanity. You will die in the process though, because there's nothing. You can eat through his clothes, all right, your digestive fluids, but nothing can penetrate that ego.
So the newspaper you should have bought last Sunday was
The People.
The Mail on Sunday. The Mail on Sunday.
People sounds a bit like apple, which is a form of Yoda. So I don't need to try. I already do it. I win.
If you want to write to us, please do. You've already heard the address and the Twitter feed, but you can also leave us a message on our website or on our Facebook group wall.
We had some brilliant emails over the last few weeks, so please do keep them coming in at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Yeah, and also you can leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
Next week, we think we're going to have a special guest on, so that will be fun. But we're not sure yet. That all depends on logistics and whether or not Izzy can operate a tape recorder.
The tape recorder is an H4N handy recorder. And you're jealous because you don't have one and I do. Like, you're jealous that you didn't get the People and I did and I won. So, nah.
I won.
So no, you didn't win. You really didn't. And pretending you did. I mean, Simon, your opinions mean so little to our readers that they know Izzy won. Because Izzy is best and Izzy wins.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.